The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin, and our guests on The Breakfast Grill this morning are Isha Hamza, President of the Malaysian Book Publishers Association, and Syed Munawa, CEO of Perbadanan Kota Buku. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining me this morning. We have a very interesting discussion. It's about policy and the evolution of a policy and its consequences, sometimes intended and sometimes not. So we wanted to pick up on a story that came out in the media recently that the successor to the Bantuan Buku Satu Malaysia initiative, the Voucher Card Discount Malaysia, or Card SIM, is resulting in fewer purchases by young people of books, right? Now, if we could start at the beginning as well. It was announced in 2011, and the scheme to lighten the burden for young people who are going to school and have to buy textbooks and have to buy stationery and all those expenses, the government gave money to kids, I think about 200, 250 ringgit. Now, the unintended consequence, or maybe the subsidiary objective of that policy, was in fact to also encourage the spirit of reading. And the consequence, apparently, was in fact not just textbooks being sold, but also fiction. You know, and so it really did boost the local industry. Isha, I want to start with you here. When you heard this announcement being announced, did you expect that the boost, and if you could tell us, give us some numbers, the boost to the Malaysian publishing scene as a consequence of the Bantuan Buku Satu Malaysia initiative?
Hello, yes. Good morning to everybody. I think it is something very interesting, something that been talked a lot by a lot of the book people in the book industry. When the book voucher was first launched in 2011, I think it was an excitement to the book industry, whereas every student in universities, Form 6 student, are given 250 ringgit. It is something book. At the same time, actually, when 250 ringgit were given to every student, it was actually a reduction of allocation to public libraries. But at the same time, it is a big increase giving about 320 million to the industry through Voucher Buku Satu Malaysia.
So there was a trade-off. They took away from disbursements to public libraries and they gave it through this particular scheme.
It is something like that. So from that, from 2011 until today, we can see a lot of reductions of allocation for libraries. In fact, if you see the last 1 or 2 years, it was quite bad. But let's see at Voucher Buku Satu Malaysia when it was first introduced in 2011. What happened in between 2011, 2012, 2013, we can see a huge increase of publishing industry in terms of people reading books, in terms of new titles, in terms of new writers, in terms of royalty. Even though we can see that after 2011, 2012, 2013, there are some misuse of the voucher buku. But we can see the increase of new titles in the first 3 years.
Syed, I want to draw you into the conversation at this point in time. Maybe you could say a little bit about Perbadanan Kota Buku, because Isha's organisation, Malaysian Book Publishers Association, that tells us exactly what it is. Yeah. But what does Perbadanan Kota Buku represent, especially in terms of this particular policy initiative?
Yeah. Basically, Perbadanan Kota Buku is a government-owned company under the purview of Ministry of Education. Our role is to basically to bridge the interests of the industry players. By the way, Isha is not just the president of Babopa, he's also the chairman of Malaysian Book Industry Chambers. So our role is to work hand-in-hand with the industry so that we can help them grow this industry and elevate a notch higher so that we'll be able to represent Malaysiana content. That's the word that we use, Malaysiana content abroad. So we represent them to a number of international book fairs across the globe. So basically, that's our role. Therefore, if the industry players felt the pinch of whatever debacle that we have at the moment with regards to book voucher and also card SIM, we are in the position to help them out.
I mean, I'm very interested, Isha, you know, the statement that you made about how money allocations to libraries have reduced, because that's, you know, the temple of modernity is the library, right? Syed, is it a problem that libraries have been defunded in order to push money into something like a book voucher?
Well, if you ask the Ministry of Higher Education, they said that the allocation given out to all these public universities are more or less the same. And in fact, we have had a discussion last Monday with the Ministry of Higher Education himself. I think he has given a broad elaboration with regards to the policy. Yes, on one hand, the whole dynamics of our economic policy has been there since the last 10 years or so, where rationalization has taken place. So more autonomy is given to the public universities so that they'll be able to generate their own income. So, but understandably, when it comes to allocation to the libraries, you know, some of these universities, they decided that perhaps whatever books they have at the moment is can still be used for times to come. So when they have crisis of cash flow, so understandably, I think that's what's happening in the last 5 years also. Yes, on one hand, the ministry said that they still they give allocations to the new civil libraries, but on the other, when it comes to daily operation, cash flow operation, so they just decide that perhaps book is the first to go because they can still make use of whatever they have in the library.
That's fascinating. Isha, I just want to come back to the objectives of the policy. I'm going to read out something that's on the website of the ministry. It says, "Initiative ini dirangka untuk meringankan beban perbelanjaan pembelian buku pengajian. Selain daripada itu, inisiatif ini dijangka dapat memupuk minat membaca di kalangan rakyat Malaysia." Now, this seems to be two related but different objectives. Do you think there's a problem in putting those two things together? Because a lot of the comments you read in the papers when kids were writing in about this book voucher thing, they were complaining about stationery is actually a very big part of our expenses. It was there and now it's been taken away. And, you know, we kind of confuse the lightening of the burden on young people who go to school with the desire to encourage the spirit of reading, or the habit of reading, rather.
You see, from day one, in 2011, when the Minister of Finance mentioned about voucher buku satu Malaysia, book voucher, the words was book voucher, with two main intentions. First is to assist the student to purchase book for their reference. Number two is to encourage them to read. So you can use the voucher to buy a reference book, and you can buy some other title for you to read. So that is the main intention. So at the end of the day, when you want to use a voucher for something else, misuse, at the end of the day, in mid of 2012, 2013, there's a lot of alung. So it's already misused. People buy with a lot of things. But we need to get back to the principle of why we have the book voucher. If we want to be a developed country, we want to be like UK, US, Italy, where people read, we need to encourage the people reading. That's why, in the first place, 2011, the minister said that this is voucher buku, to help you to read.
Okay, so we'll come back to that initiative and that larger aspiration. But, Syed, I want to ask you this question. Is there a difference between textbooks and those other books that Isha referred to, the books that might be fiction or even non-fiction, but are not strictly about the curriculum?
Yeah, we want everyone to read more, irrespective of whatever they read. But the initial intent when the government introduced book voucher was because they noticed that the cost of living, you know, many students are complaining about not having enough. So they thought that while they helped the industry to spur the industry itself, basically, book voucher itself was introduced after years of calling from the industry. So it was the first time in 2011, thanks to the government, they institutionalized such a huge amount, 250 or 300 plus million, more than quarter of a billion, which give huge impact. So in fact, it did not only benefit textbook players, but also the book industry at large. You can see that even KL International Book Fest bloated up to more than 1,000 booths, the biggest ever in the 30 years of its organization. So you can see the impact itself, royalties in millions among writers, and also some of the public players, they even have this mention that book industry is recession free, you know, which is only relevant to certain times. So you can see the impact later on after 2 or 3 years. So leakages starts happening because students realize that they can. It's worrying because these leakages are in a way being institutionalized even in the campus itself. where students can exchange the voucher for cash. So that's where the problem starts. We don't mind if the students spend on books, but once they start spending it on tudung, crepe, printer and toner, so it defeats the purpose of introducing book voucher in the first place.
Okay, so the book voucher, so it seems there's a lack of clarity with this. So it was called a book voucher, but it was said to be about lightening the load for young people. And for them, books are only one part of the load. I mean, the toner that you talk about, you know, and you read some of these letters to the press, they'll say, we have to, you know, print stuff. We have to buy reams of, you know, A4 paper. That's a cost to us. Why shouldn't this money be used for that? Isha, you know, the question of the policy then so targeted at books, right? So it had a... You could see where the impact would be in the book, in the question of books. But now that we've moved to this other concept, which is to just give kids cash, right, in the form of an account in Bank Rakyat, I believe. What do you think it's an expression of? The fact that kids now, we have some numbers, are just not buying books?
Okay, in the first place, before I go to the answer to the question, I want to mention about this book voucher. When we share about this news to the world, we go to international book fair, we talk to Indonesia, we talk to Europe. These people, the book industry in the world, are very impressed with Malaysia. They kata, Malaysia are fantastic. You are the only country in the world that give book voucher to the student at that time. But if today you talk to them, they will laugh at you. Because the book voucher has evolved from book voucher to card debit siswa, and today it is a card that you can purchase anything. What do people use card debit?
Isha, why do you think the government turned around? Why do you think it lost faith in its own initiative and changed it?
After the introduction of book voucher, there's a lot of misuse. In fact, maybe in 2012, there's a lot of alung. Student exchange with voucher buku with 200 ringgit. So the voucher is 250, they get 200 ringgit. So to stop this misuse, government introduced card debit siswa Satu Malaysia. But actually did not solve the problem. It become worse. With card debit Satu Malaysia, students just can purchase anything. Based on our record homework done, card debit was used for F&B, for petrol, for cash, for computer accessory, and less than 2% for books.
That's what's happening.
Is it just the fact of a new generation who do not believe they need to buy books? Because in fact, a lot of their reading material comes through their electronic devices. They just download PDFs of books. They don't need to buy physical, you know, paper books anymore.
Well, you just look at the posting that all these, even the student leaders have in the social media. They really want the card SIM to be in the form of cash because they felt they misunderstood the intent. But I wouldn't blame the students themselves, because when we give them card SIM, you know, we lack the elements of control. Because initially it was meant to buy books, but later on they can, as what Isaac said, you can go to the petrol station, you can go to the F&B, and in fact, the major chunk of the money actually goes to entertainment industry rather than to the book industry. And on the other side, I think it's very hard for the government to also control, because you need some kind of mechanism, and mechanism is expensive for you to install perhaps a terminal or whatever in all the book chains across the nation. So we need to come up with a better mechanism on ways how to control it. Because what happens now is a double jeopardy to the book industry. On one hand, institutional purchase by the public libraries has diminished, but on the other, money which are meant to be spent on books in the pockets of the students has turned, it has gone elsewhere. So students buy everything else except books. So that's what happened.
You're listening to Sai Munawar, CEO of Perbadanan Kota Buku, as well as Isaac Hamza, President of Malaysian Book Publishers Association. Next up, we look at alternatives to such policy initiatives in terms of promoting the habit of reading. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Good morning. If you just joined us, I'm Sharad Kutin, and our guests on the Breakfast Grill this morning are Isha Hamza, President of the Malaysian Book Publishers Association, Syed Munawar, CEO of Perbadanan Kota Buku. I want to begin with you, Syed. You said earlier that most of the money that the kids are getting now is going to entertainment, not books. But shouldn't books be entertaining?
That's the thing. We are actually, what's happening now is digital disruption. People read more digitally, but at the same time, we have to understand the dynamics of a local book publisher. We are a porous nation whereby we read in multi languages, so we can easily get cheap internationally published books in our market at the rock bottom price. It may not necessarily be good to the nation at large, because actually what we have, book is not a mere representation of the physical publication itself. It manifests the values, our past and also our future. So when we're talking about Malaysiana content, we have to give equal emphasis for the development of local content so that it'll be readily be able to compete with the rest of the international publications that we have in our country. What's the point if we have entirely budget allocated for books but then being spent elsewhere, and at the same time we are having this problem of getting a hold of our local content? Let me ask you, Sharad, how much do you know about all these books written by Hans Christian Andersen as compared to Pak Pandey, Lebai Malang, and even all our folklores? We know more about the Western cultures rather than ourselves.
Well, you know, I was very lucky because in school we did learn those Malay folklores yeah. as well. Now, Isha, I want to ask you this question. You know, there seemed to be a kind of a period, right, the short period, a couple of years where everything looked great. It was a kind of renaissance for the book industry. You talked about this, you know, the Malaysian Book Fair or the KL Book Fair, you know, kind of bursting at the seams. That kind of initiative provided protection. Now it's gone. I'm not quite sure if publishers are lobbying the government for a return for a more targeted policy. Tell us if that's happening. But in the absence of such a policy, what does the industry think it needs to do?
As I mentioned, from the book industry perspective, when the voucher book was given, in a way there are a cut of allocation to public libraries, national libraries, state libraries. So for publishers, for the book industry, their income come from two sources. One is the book sold in the bookshop. Second is from the tenders given from the ministry. So after the tenders was in a small amount, very small amount, so they will hope that the income will come from the public through the bookshop. So when the book voucher was misused, so the purchase in the bookshop was, you can see, a lot of reduction. So what happened during the last 2 or 3 years, especially in 2011, I just came on to give you some figure. The turnover of the book industry fell from 1.5 billion to 1.2 billion. At the end of the day, it's to 800 million only. There's a lot of retrenchment. There's a lot of book publishers closed down. There's a lot of bookshop closed down. There's a lot of reduction of royalty. And especially, there is a decrease of new title published. Previously, we can reach until 20,000 or 21,000 new title per year. I think for 2017, I estimate it's much less than 15,000 titles.
Now, but aside, I also want to just to kind of put the other side of the story is that we hear a lot about these indie publishers now. Yeah. You know, we talk about brands or imprints like Buku Fiksi, Do Book Press, Legend Press, Rabat Lit, Sang Freud Press. These are the new sexy, young, youth-driven, you know, publishers of Malaysia today. Do they make up for this deficit that Ishak talked about?
If we talk to Fiksi, for an instance, they mentioned that they have an increase in sales even in the last quarter of last year. So I think it depends on the market itself. What these indie publishers did was they provide something which were not readily available in the market. So they are still sexy in a sense. But if you look at the neighbouring country, if Indonesia, for an instance, the indie publication doesn't really make as much because it's normal there. So what did what all these indie publishers did was to provide something which is not in the market at the moment. But how far and how long can they sustain this is just a matter of time. We just have to see.
I mean, what is interesting about Buku Fiksi and all these other imprints is they are changing the language in which at least Malay fiction is written. It's much more street language. They mix it with English. Yeah. You know, maybe they're going against the official notion of how the national language should be represented in literature. But they're also creating stories that are now are jumping platforms. So I think Zombie Jaya has become a movie, for instance. Isha, is the book industry too parochial? Is it only thinking about our national borders? Is it not tapping into the Malay-speaking world of Southeast Asia that extends beyond Malaysia to Indonesia, to Brunei, where you have a larger market?
But I think this is actually a big question. The principle of Malaysia, many people do not understand. We are not a monolingual country. Means that if you publish in Bahasa Melayu, mostly the Malay read it. But other people, they have alternative. They can buy English title, they can buy Chinese title, they can buy Tamil title. Because of that reason, the titles of Malaysian titles are quite limited. That's happened. So if there is no assistance, you cannot sell Malay title to Indonesia, in fact to US. You have to get it translated. So the market is relatively small. So if you can survive in Malaysia, then we in the book industry, we working with the government through National Book Council, for example, to start to sell our rights internationally. But to get it done, they need to survive in the local market first, to get their foot down in Malaysia. Yeah.
Syed, is the work of Pabadanan Kota Buku limited to titles in the official language in Bahasa Malaysia?
No.
And why is that? Why is it that you're going beyond just Bahasa Malaysia?
Basically, our role is to help local publishers irrespective of the medium that they use. So whether you are publishing in Mandarin, in English, whenever we represent Malaysian titles abroad, mainly those who really made their way through the international market are the ones readily written in English.
I mean, so, the fact that we're multilingual, Syed, is that a limitation or in fact a strength?
I think it's a strength in a way, but as what Isha has mentioned, that we're talking about the Malaysian market is a bit shallow as compared to all the other countries. So we really need to boost whatever we have, especially local content, so that we'll be able to sell abroad. You know, let's look at international titles, which are even fiction. You can see that some of Malaysian titles, it's very hard for us to make our way through because of the story that they provide, perhaps, maybe. But we need more incentives. And actually, Book Voucher is one of the major incentives which are meant to boost and spur the industry ahead. But suddenly, it did not transform into what it's intended to be.
So okay. Speaking about this, you know, not this loss, right? We've lost the Book Voucher initiative. We have this new initiative. Isha, is your association and the stakeholders that you represent in the business of publishing trying to engage with government about policy? Are you trying to get this Book Voucher project back on track?
Actually, in 2011, the book industry are the first party that sent a proposal to the government to give more allocation to the libraries. So what happened in the budget, Book Voucher was introduced. So during 2011 to 2015, where there's a lot of misuse, we repeatedly sent a memorandum to the government so that they have kind of control of the Book Voucher. So in 2017 was quite bad. So I think even last week we have met the Minister of Higher Learning to propose to him that there's such control of Book Voucher. In fact, before the budget, we also meet the Minister of Finance to have such control. Because I think we need to get to the basic. What is the reasons of the Book Voucher? It's to help the student to purchase book, to help the student to read book. At the same time, it is good because it helps the student, and at the same time, it's developed the industry. It's something good, something very noble.
Yeah. Syed, what do you think in terms of best practices and policies that you see globally? What do you think Malaysia should do? What direction do you think the government should go in?
Basically, we look at book as part and parcel of the content industry as a whole. But book serves as the kernel of the industry itself because everything starts from book. The manuscript, movie, films, animation and whatnot. Everything must first be written before it becomes something else, before we add value to it. So we have to give due emphasis to Malaysiana content, as we call it. Because last time when we had KL International Book Fair, we also have, along with it, KL TCC, Trade and Copyright Centre. So one of the content buyers from abroad, when they come over here, they said they are not looking for our animation, but they're looking for our stories. They want to know about us. So we need to give more incentive to this so that we'll be able to tell our story, Malaysian story, because we are unique. So I think we have to give more emphasis for that.
Isha, do you think the industry is up to the challenge? Do you think they've been a little too protected in the past, and now, you know, the challenges are a little too big for them? Where do you see your industry going?
I think if we want to move forward, we need the assistance of the government. Actually, we don't ask the government to give money to the book industry. If they put the money in the books, that is good for the industry. Just one statement that I would like to make. I think we should stop a policy that giving fish to the people, to the student. We should give them fishing rod. That is the basic principle.
I've been speaking to Isha Hamza, President of Malaysian Book Publishers Association. Before that, Syed Munawar, CEO of Perbadanan Kota Buku. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for joining us this morning. You've been listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Sharad Kutin for BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U Mobile, where data hearts you.